Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on this Wednesday, American Family Radio. I am Tim Wildman. That's what the announcer told you. The announcer was correct. That is my name. And I'm glad we hired that announcer because he is very accurate right there. Can you be very accurate or moderately accurate? I don't know. But
accurate is accurate.
So you don't need that descriptive. You just see the announcer is accurate. That is my name. Ed Vitagliano, the voice of reason there you're hearing. Good morning, Ed.
The voice of sometimes reason.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, passion.
Right.
You know,
but sometimes they're all nonsense.
Sometimes nonsense. Listen, I'm the full package.
Okay?
You're not getting just reason with me.
Right. Take it or leave it.
You're getting the whole.
You might get a little nonsense every once in a while.
Absolutely.
And proud of it.
I'm proud of it.
Somebody's got to bring the nonsense to this
and
world.
I'll bring it thick and fast.
Walker Wildman is very discerning about Ed's nonsense. Is with us as well. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning. I couldn't let Ed's head get any bigger. I had to take a jab at him, bring him back down.
Any bigger? Wait a second. Are you saying that my head is already big?
You just
don't want to get it. I'm a little sensitive.
I don't think people's physical appearance has anything to do with our show.
That's what I thought he was talking about.
Your head being big?
Listen, my wife and I yesterday afternoon went for our church pictures for our church directory.
Right.
And, you know, they show them your pictures, and I thought, my head is huge.
So I'm not the only one.
How did it get so big?
All right.
That's
Did you buy? I did the same thing. I didn't know you were going. You and I go to the same church, so you went and got your picture taken too?
Yes. Yeah.
Did you buy?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I did too.
I thought I wasn't going to.
I know.
You get the free one that goes in the directory. Yeah. My wife said, oh.
I know.
But we got to give to.
Allison goes, by the way. Let me introduce the rest of our distinguished panel here.
I started this.
Chris Woodward. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning. Happy to be here.
AFR News and Walker Wildman. We did the same thing, except Allison, my wife, she said, I got to go. You go talk to the salesman.
Oh.
So I go in there and talk to him. Well, this was pre-planned because she said, we already buy family pictures once a year from a professional photographer that we use, so we don't need any more pictures of ourselves. Exactly. But the fellow was very, very nice. And so I bought some pictures. And I don't feel bad about that.
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I told her, I'm not going to buy anything.
Yeah.
I told Allison, don't worry about it. You go on. I'll just deal with the sales pitch.
Tell him no.
And I'll walk out because he's not getting me. And nothing against him personally. But I don't need him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, then I left. She says, she texted me. She says, call me when you leave. I said, okay, thumbs up. So I left, and she said, did you buy anything? I said, yeah, I did. Yeah, I did. But it wasn't fair. It's not fair, really, to be alone with a salesman.
Yeah, well, it didn't help me any. Well, my wife was right there.
Well, then you can't play off each other. You know, if you have your partner there, your wife there, you can say, you know, you don't really want any.
Well, what
you?
I should have done is – And the pictures were wonderful, and he did a great job, the gentleman did, and I bought him, and I'm glad, and didn't break the bank or anything like that. But if I was going to do what I intended to do, and that is I don't need these, I should have just gone in and said, look, I'm just going to be.
Before you even say
anything. Yeah, I'm going to be straight up and save your.
I want four wallets.
I'm going to save your time and my time too, okay? Yeah. Your time and my time too, and I'm not buying anything because I don't need it. Mm. You have a good day.
Yeah.
And, of course, it wouldn't have been a good day because I think he was 0-for-4, he told me at that point.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I just got to tell this one thing. This goes way back to the mid-'80s now. My wife and I, we have one child, and same thing. You get the free 8x10 if you come in, and then they try to sell you. Mm-hmm. And this – so my wife is sitting there with me, and this guy's trying to get us the package. And I told my wife, we're getting the free 8x10, and that's it.
Yeah.
And that I said, we're sticking to this. Okay. So then they're showing him, and my wife's, oh, this is. And then, you know, the package back then that my wife was wanting was $175, which in the mid-'80s,
I was a preacher. That's like $500
It was a lot. And this guy looks at me and he says, well, come on, you're living in Mississippi. I know you got a lot of, your wife's family here. Don't you have family that needs some of these pictures? And I said, not for $175. they don't. They ain't worth it.
You told him that?
I told him that. Right. And my wife, well, we got the picture.
All right. So, and I did. I do get the.
Yeah.
I got the. The interesting thing was, maybe I shouldn't be saying this out loud, but I got the discount that he probably offered nobody else.
Yes. Well, we got a discount too.
Huh? I mean, what?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Tim.
You told me if I bought this and that collect and with that package that I would get the special discount. And you're telling me he told you the same thing?
He did. Got the special discount.
Man. That's a bummer.
I guess I'm not so special.
He was one step away from saying, I got to go talk to my manager.
That's a good one, Chris.
By the way, let me tell you what we did. Yeah. We took one several years ago. It was the first family portrait of my wife and I and our two daughters.
Right.
What we did was, and it was in early fall, what we did was we went ahead and just used those pictures that we paid for as presents for the grandparents that year. So we were able to kind of like re-gift them, I guess.
Hey, that is a good idea, my friend.
That's not bad at all right there, buddy. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Much depressing news to discuss with you today. So
apparently there's some other things happening other than buying pictures.
No, there's some good stuff, bad stuff. It's usually a mix, and that's what we're going to be talking about on the program today. If you want to watch the show, or you can download the archives or the podcast, Walker, how can folks connect? How can they feel a connection with us here, Walker?
Yeah, multiple ways to connect. The first way is on Facebook. Follow the Today's Issues Facebook page. Watch the show. Catch the news articles. Another way is on YouTube. We're live streaming on YouTube. And lastly, you can visit our website, afr.net, afr.net. But speaking of connecting with us here at American Family Radio, we will be hosting a In God We Trust town hall meeting in Columbus, Ohio, just outside of Columbus, in Dublin, Ohio. And this will be Tuesday, a week from this past Tuesday, on October 2nd.
Next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday, at October 2nd, at 6:30 p.m., beginning at 6:30, we will have an In God We Trust town hall meeting open to the public, but it's limited to 500 people. Here's how you can find out more information.
You have to register. Excuse me for interrupting you. It's free, but you have to register.
Right.
You have to let us know you're coming because we have to plan for seating, so it's on the internet. And the speakers will be?
The speakers will be Brian Fisher from Focal Point.
Well, that's all you need to know right there.
Ed Vitagliano.
Wow.
From Today's Issues.
Big Head.
Wow. Big Head Ed will be there. I just thought of that, Ed. I'm sorry. Did that offend you?
It didn't.
Well, okay. Anyway, go ahead.
The last speaker will be Wesley Wildman, which is my brother, your son.
Right.
Wesley Wildman.
Yes, my oldest.
So, that's right. So those three speakers will be there.
My oldest son. Not my oldest child. Anyway, so Wesley Wildman will be there. Ed Vitagliano will be there. Brian Fisher will be there. They're going to be in the Columbus, Ohio area.
Right.
Dublin, a week from yesterday.
Yes.
So wonderful. So where are they going to be and how are the folks going to sign up?
Yeah, they're going to be at the Crown Plaza in Dublin, Ohio. Okay. And here's how you can sign up, register, and attend the event. Visit the website afa.net/Dublin, and Dublin is spelled D-U-B-L-I-N, afa.net/Dublin.
Do that one more time.
afa.net/Dublin, and Dublin is spelled D-U-B-L-I-N.
And we got like 300 people signed up to be there already, right?
That's right. So if you want to attend, go ahead and register.
Awesome. That's a week from yesterday, or next Tuesday. You're listening to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. Chris, spotlight's on you.
All right. Just as Christine Blasey Ford and her supporters are making their way to D.C. for tomorrow's hearing in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee, women for Kavanaugh, Judge Kavanaugh, are preparing to hold a rally tomorrow in support of Brett Kavanaugh. One of those people, this is the main organizer of the Women for Kavanaugh rally, is none other than Penny Nance of Concerned Women for America. I talked with her yesterday. Clip one.
We are seeing this chaos around us, in which the left will stop at nothing to destroy Judge Kavanaugh because they perceive him as a threat to Roe. And certainly we want there to be a moment in which Dr. Ford can share her story. I am a victim of an attempted rape and a physical assault 20 years ago. I have written countless op-eds on the issue of sexual assault, and I have advocated for women. I feel very strongly on this issue, but I also feel equally strong about the fact that this is about fairness. This is about justice. And we in this country believe that anyone, regardless of gender, race, socioeconomic class, are innocent until proven guilty. And to ignore that and to move away from that belief is really a very dangerous notion for our country.
Now, among the speakers scheduled to appear at tomorrow's Women for Kavanaugh rally is Carrie Severino of Judicial Crisis Network, Marjorie Dannenfelser of Susan B. Anthony List, and one of the up-and-coming millennials named Patrice Leon Wuka. She used to be with Generation Opportunity. Now she's with the Independent Women's Forum. And this, again, is a Women for Kavanaugh I Stand with Brett rally, spearheaded by Penny Nance of Concerned Women for America. Do you guys think this will hold weight? Like, will the media pick up on it, do you think?
You're talking about weight and women, Chris. It's all on you, buddy. We're not going to say a word. Yeah, bad choice of words. You want to rephrase the question?
Think it means that you have women for Kavanaugh having another yeah. Women for Kavanaugh rally at a time when he's being accused of things?
I don't think you need to rally. I mean, I'm glad they are.
Mm-hmm.
But you already, Penny's a good friend. That's wonderful, wonderful. What's going on here is Alice in Wonderland. This shouldn't even be happening. I mentioned this yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's good that they're allowing this woman to come and testify. I think there's much more of a, this is me personally, there's much more of a downside risk here for Judge Kavanaugh than there is an upside. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is ridiculous. Chuck Grassley and Mitch McConnell should have said no to this. Think about it. Is this going to be televised?
Hearings for tomorrow, yes.
Okay, well, the chances are this is going to be the optics of a poor woman who was traumatized 36 years ago and still today it carries on.
Mm.
And nobody believes her. And victims should be believed. And Judge Kavanaugh is a animal. Absolute, disgusting man who lies.
You think that's the result of this being televised?
Yes. That's what I think. I'm saying
the narrative.
I'm saying that's the narrative that's going to be the risk. Because now she will be questioned by this. You're going to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter what she's going to say. Well, I don't remember all those.
She'll be thoroughly coached.
I don't remember all those things like that. I just know that, you know, when he was on top of me, I just felt so violated. And if he was so drunk, and if he wouldn't have been drunk, I'm scared he probably would have raped me. And I'm just here to tell my story.
Mm.
And if nobody believes me, that's okay. But everybody should hear about this. And I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, what your point is, and I'm glad that there are people standing behind Brett Kavanaugh, mm-hmm. because from what all we know, all the publicly available information, all the publicly available facts show that Brett Kavanaugh is an upstanding man. But what you're getting at here is, what do you expect to come from this
yes,
hearing?
Yes.
Unless she comes forth tomorrow and has four witnesses sitting beside her, and there's pictures, everybody
There's
has corroborating evidence.
No.
And it all basically shows that this Brett Kavanaugh did this. If she's not able to provide evidence beyond the shadow of a doubt that Brett Kavanaugh did this, then it leaves everybody hanging like we've been hanging for the last 2 weeks.
It's not a criminal trial here, though. Yes, you're right, Walker.
With us trying, we're trying to pick who we believe more than the other,
right.
with no factual substantial information. And so the point of this hearing, I'm not sure what it is other than for the Republicans to say that we heard her out.
Yeah.
I think that the outcome of this is exactly what the Democrats intended. Dianne Feinstein, she's the one that held on to this accusation
since July,
is you're going to have a handful of Republicans who won't be able, I'm talking about Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, probably someone like Jeff Flake, who will side with the woman. And you'll have the handful of Democrats that probably were going to be forced to vote for Kavanaugh because they're in red states, have to defend their own seats eventually. Now what Dianne Feinstein has done is she has given them cover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that those Democrats can say, I'm sorry, I was going to vote for Judge Kavanaugh, but I have to believe the victim here. And that is what Dianne Feinstein intended, and that is what the Democrats have intended. And I'm afraid, barring some dramatic turn of events, they're going to succeed.
Mm-hmm. This is, you got to be careful how you say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. If what this professor says is true, it should have no bearing on the life of Brett Kavanaugh today and his ability to be a Supreme Court justice. Okay? Are we going? He didn't rape her. Is that? She didn't say she has a claim, right? Right?
She says. Well, she's saying that she thought he would have.
But he didn't.
If Mark Judge hadn't jumped on the pile, they fell off and she ran.
When he was 17, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, when he was 17. Okay, so I just want to make sure this is the standard that we're all going to abide by, the Democrats, I'm sure, too. And that is, what somebody did one night in when they were 17 years old, when they're 55, or however old he is, we should go back to that night when there's no police report, no witnesses, nobody to verify. And as I say, that's all in the background. I'm just saying if he did have some kind of encounter with her, that's disqualifying.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Ted Kennedy, after Chappaquiddick, should have resigned as a senator. I think he should have, but I'm saying, is this the standard we're going to go by? Because I don't think the Democrats are going to go by this standard. Look at Bill Clinton, for goodness sakes. They don't care how many women he, as long as he believes in their ideology. So it's all pretend.
It is. It's all pretend. I want some, this is why you can never trust most of the people in the media. I want someone in the media. I heard Chuck Schumer going on about this. All right. So Senator Schumer.
Right.
If a woman accuses you of sexual harassment or sexual
when
assault,
you were 17,
any time during your life, you will step down as a senator.
Right, because they should be believed.
You're disqualified.
Right. Just want to make sure that's what the rules were playing
on. That's not what's going on here.
In 2009, Senator Schumer, it was widely reported, you can look this up on a host of news outlets. In 2009, Senator Schumer called a flight attendant a word I can't and won't use.
A woman? He called a woman?
A flight attendant. She told him to put away his cell phone. And as she was walking away, he was quoted as calling her a word.
Well, she should be believed, and he should resign out of disrespect.
I mean, if you're going to go on, things like
really.
That.
No, really.
But that's not what's going on here.
We have to look at someone's adult career and private life with the facts, not what hearsay, because you can say anything. We have to look at what we factually know about a man for the last 35 years and all the publicly available information we have, and even from his ex-girlfriends.
60 women have signed a document
65.
Saying that he is a gentleman.
Right.
Including a couple girls who dated him.
Yeah. Right, and so you put all that together, you have to go on that, what we know for sure, and we can't go back to high school days because we all know that people do things in high school they're embarrassed of and they're ashamed of. And if we put all the senators
that's what I'm saying.
To that standard, we would have no U.S. senators.
And here's something else to consider. If people are going to say Brett Kavanaugh is a sexual predator,
that's what they're saying.
Then let me tell you don't stop being a sexual predator when you get out of high school.
That's true.
a real sexual predator continues their predation their entire life. You would have a stream of women saying, not just high school, not just college, when I was clerking for him, when I was, you know, on a flight, he did something inappropriate.
You know what?
That's what happens with predators.
It would be much more honest for these people like Dianne Feinstein and the other ones. Just say, listen, he has pro-life views. I'm against him, and I'm going to vote against him. Let's move on.
Yeah. Right.
Huh? Why all the drama?
Yeah, because they want to bring in the Republicans. They want to get Republicans to vote against
him. That was happening.
Yeah.
What was happening was you had Democrats who said, I'm voting against him basically because of that. They might not have said it. Republicans, I'm voting because the president nominated him. But you had this handful of few Republicans and Democrats whose own political careers were on the line. They were going to be forced to vote for Kavanaugh.
Right.
They couldn't vote against him, even though he was pro-life, because of their own political survival. And Dianne Feinstein said, don't worry, boys.
I got you.
Right. I got the ace in the hole.
A good example of what you're talking about, we don't have to do this clip, Brent, but Senator Hirono from Hawaii, who was a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee,
crackpot.
On Sunday, she told Jake Tapper on CNN State of the Union that this was a pro-choice issue for her. She said that his credibility was out the window because he says this and he does that, and she went on to say that he is against women's reproductive rights.
Do we have that on Sunday? Do we have that?
It is clip three.
Doesn't Kavanaugh have the same presumption of innocence as anyone else in America?
I put his denial in the context of everything that I know about him in terms of how he approaches his cases. As I said, his credibility is already very questionable in my mind and in the minds of a lot of my fellow Judiciary Committee members, the Democrats. So he comes and, you know, when I say that he's very outcome driven, he has an ideological agenda.
Stop that right there. That woman right there, the senator from, She's a liar because you see how she manipulated the question.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't ask, what she's saying, he's pro-life, therefore I believe the woman.
He's guilty. Right.
He's guilty because of his judicial philosophy. That's what she said.
Because he's pro-life and against abortion, he's against women.
And Jake Tapper
so a guy who's against women is probably going to assault them.
Yeah,
yes.
Jake Tapper let her get away with that.
Mm-hmm.
Because if a conservative would have said, yeah, the liberal is guilty of whatever alleged crime because of their ideological views, they would have been cut off immediately and said, so you're saying, and then they would have had to double down.
All she needed to do was say, yes, I believe the woman, because I want to. She's telling the truth. And what he did that night when he was 17 years old should keep him from anything from the Supreme Court and ruin his life.
This is why I say these Democrats don't really care about Dr. Ford. If they're going to believe the accuser, how come they're not screaming for Keith Ellison to step down as senator from Minnesota because his girlfriend
he's not
with
a senator is he?
Congressman.
Sorry.
Yeah. His girlfriend has 911 call.
Yeah.
You know, has doctor's report, has information. Nobody's demanding that he step down.
Because they don't care.
Because they don't care
about
women.
Can we continue to kill unborn babies or not? That's what's at stake here for
That's
those
That's exactly
people.
Right.
All right, we're going to take a break right here.
I need a break. Or my head's going to get even bigger.
You're listening to Today's Issues. Hey, we got a great interview coming up. And you're not going to want to miss this this story when we get back from the break. Stay with us.
On the next Today's Issues, our guest will be Dr. Alex McFarland.
I cannot wait to get to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, October 26, 27. We're going to have our Truth for New Generation event, and there are going to be a lot of people there like Dr. Michael Brown, Miki Addison of the Urban Family Talk Network.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News reporters. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio. Steve Tiber with 8 Days of Hope.
We are launching our largest rapid response effort ever. I'm right now in Houston preparing for our next rebuilding trip here to help Harvey in October. Meanwhile, we have leaders and equipment headed to Newburgh, North Carolina, and then Fayetteville, North Carolina, where we're going to be the next 8 weeks. But all hands are on deck. We're accepting volunteers on our website. This is an amazing opportunity for the church to be the church. We're willing to take the professional carpenter, electrician, plumber, and painter, but this is a perfect opportunity for somebody like me who's less skilled. And if you can swing a hammer and carry debris to a curb, there's a place for you.
Learn more or volunteer at 8daysofhope.com.
They say, why would you come from Chicago or Jackson, Mississippi or Rochester, New York? Why would you come to Newburgh, North Carolina? And that's when the Holy Spirit starts to move.
8daysofhope.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next. Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu. The Muslim Council of Great Britain is calling on the British government to ban evangelist Franklin Graham. Reverend Graham is scheduled to host a series of religious meetings across England, the Festival of Hope. But the nation's largest Muslim group says his views on Islam and same-sex marriage violate Britain's hate speech laws. They say Reverend Graham is not conducive to the public good and has demonstrated a hatred for Muslims. The Muslims want the government to deny the evangelical Christian minister's visa application. In his defense, Graham says he's not coming to preach hate. He's preaching Jesus Christ. That's why he extended an open invitation to all sorts of people to attend, no matter their politics or their sexual orientation or their religion. And yet the Muslim British Council wants to banish the Reverend Graham because of his religious beliefs and his politics. Sounds a bit intolerant to me. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments at afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on American Family Radio. To me, these liberal politicians in Washington, D.C. remind me of Jesus' statement about a brood of snakes. Brood of vipers, isn't that what he called them?
Brood of vipers.
But he was talking about religious leaders, right?
Right.
Jewish religious leaders?
Yes.
Because of the way things that they operated. You can read about that in the scripture. But these people have no, they have no shame, mm-mm, Ed, in their...
Well, just like the things we were just talking about before the break, they could care less about any logical consistency. So
we're about ruining a man's life,
right? Over the issue of abortion, and they won't even come out and say it. But as we said, if they really cared about women, and they said all accusers should be believed, they'd be going after Democrats too,
right?
Like Keith Ellison,
yeah. Right.
And they're not.
And Bill Clinton.
In fact, they defend them. But when it is a Republican, and when the golden calf of abortion is threatened in mm-hmm. their view, mm-hmm. they will do whatever. This is the fury with which conservatives have approached this. And you look at what Chuck Grassley has said, even Lindsey Graham, who's not usually a dyed-in-the-wool conservative. Mm-hmm. They're saying that Senator Dianne Feinstein, you've had this since July. Apparently, Christine Ford said she wanted to be anonymous, but you actually broke that confidentiality, and you waited until all the testimonies, the entire circus was over.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And everyone, all these senators had time to talk to Brett Kavanaugh alone or on the phone. He was at 3 or 4 days of hearings. You never said a word, Dianne Feinstein. Right. Don't tell me you're concerned about Dr. Christine Ford. You would have brought this up then.
Yeah, and I just want to say this. First off, Mitch McConnell and others have actually began to fight back against these slanderous claims, and I give them kudos to that. The Senate Majority Leader gave a pretty blistering speech yesterday on the Senate floor, and he called
Mitch McConnell blistering?
Yeah, he gave it a pretty strong speech
okay,
yesterday.
I didn't see it. Just those three words are funny to me. Mitch McConnell and the word blistering.
Yeah, well, okay. I know.
But I know what you're saying. Good. He gave a very strong defense.
Yes, of Brett Kavanaugh and talked about how the Democrats are unnecessarily slandering him and smearing him and dragging him through the mud. But the reason I say all that is to say that the Republicans, they have a hard time handling strategy. They seem to always be on the defensive. And this is the prime case, exactly what Ed just said. The Republicans could have huddled up. And I know you have Jeff Flake and others who are kind of wandering off, but you should have huddled up immediately and said, we're about to go on offensive. We're not going to be on defensive for the next 2 weeks. We're going on offensive, and we're going to blame this all on Senator Feinstein.
Yes.
Everything is Senator Feinstein's fault.
Right.
And the reason we're not going to hold a hearing, and the reason why is because of Senator Feinstein.
Right.
If she would have brought this forth earlier, before we sworn testimony, then we would have been glad to hear from Dr. Ford. But it's too late, and when the media ask, why aren't you letting Dr. Ford speak, it's because of Senator Feinstein.
That's brilliant.
And the White House could get on the same talking points.
Yes.
All the conservative media outlets would be on the same talking points, and we would have this, it would be another Chuck Schumer moment when he ended up having to agree to that budget 6 months ago because he was being shamed into it.
Yeah. Just saying, listen, like you're saying, I would say, if I were Mitch McConnell, I'd say, listen, we had our hearings, and Dianne Feinstein held on to this.
And we weren't even told it existed.
Right. So we're not going to levitate the hour here.
So go talk to Senator
Feinstein. Talk to Senator Feinstein. Ask her why she held on to this.
Yes.
This is not our fault.
I think they could have won that argument in a matter of days.
Yes, Walker,
and held
you are
a vote.
Correct, sir.
Yeah.
All right. Well, by the way, that interview we have coming up with Marion Hatcher will be at 10:45 Central Time. Ed, you want to just give us a tease about this?
We're going to have Ann Reed in, who's one of the writers.
She's not going to be
here. Oh, she's not.
No,
okay.
She can't be here.
All right, Ann Reed is a writer for the AFA Journal. She interviewed Marion Hatcher. She has a compelling story of being trafficked, human trafficking, and fell into this because of drug use. So we'll have her on, Marion Hatcher, in other words.
But God saved her.
God saved her. That's
physically and spiritually.
Right.
We're going to talk to her. Go ahead, Chris.
Well, in a good way, I think to wrap up the Kavanaugh conversation, at least for this segment, is to go back. Let's take a time machine back to the early 90s and credit our AFN's reporter anchor Steve Jordahl for providing this audio. You know, you got people like Chuck Grassley and others saying, we need an FBI investigation. We need an FBI
about
investigation.
About what?
Chuck Schumer.
About Kavanaugh. That's what Schumer and others want, an FBI investigation.
Wait, hold on just a minute. Excuse me for interrupting you. Just to be clear, you said Chuck Grassley in the 90s wanted an FBI investigation.
Yeah. Schumer in 2018 wants an FBI investigation about the Kavanaugh allegations. Right. I misspoke. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay. And how is that relevant to what we're about to hear?
Well, this is then-Senator Joe Biden in the early 1990s at the Clarence Thomas hearings.
Okay.
He said, and I quote, an FBI report is worthless. Clip 7.
And the last thing I'll point out. The next person that refers to an FBI report as being worth anything obviously doesn't understand anything. FBI explicitly does not, in this or any other case, reach a conclusion. Period. Period. The reason why we cannot rely on the FBI report, you wouldn't like it if we did, because it is inconclusive. They say he said, she said, and they said, period. So when people wave an FBI report before you, understand, they do not reach conclusions.
He might be running for president again in 2020.
Wow, you go, Joe, right there. You go, Joe, boy.
That will not be brought up tomorrow.
That was great. Because it should be. That's very applicable here. What he's saying is exactly true. I saw the director of Planned Parenthood on Shannon Bream's show last night on Fox News. And she's going, yes, we need an FBI investigation into this. The FBI needs to fully investigate. She said like that three or four times. And that's what the Chuck Schumer's saying this too, mm-hmm. Senator, from the left, an FBI investigation. And I just say, investigate what?
Right.
Because it's going to be exactly like
Joe Biden.
Joe Biden just described it.
Well, but again, here's the thing. This is the brood of viper kind of thing. They don't really want an FBI investigation.
Right.
They want the FBI to investigate it so that the vote on Kavanaugh is after the midterms. Why do they want the vote on Kavanaugh after the midterms? Because there are Democrats on the hot seat in the Senate.
Yeah. It's all politics.
It's all politics.
Yes.
It's all politics.
Well, I've said it before. If you are okay with killing a baby, and many, if not most, Democrats are, you have no scruples.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I would agree with you on that. I think from Dianne Feinstein holding this to the senator from Hawaii a while ago that we heard saying because he's against abortion, therefore he's guilty of what the woman, professor claims he is when he was 17 years old that one night. Chuck Schumer saying we need an FBI investigation when Joe Biden said the opposite a few years ago when we were dealing with with Clarence Thomas. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Democrats, and as I've said before, the Republicans are capable of lying too. I'm not saying that they aren't. Politics often involves double standards on both sides. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying to you, here's the difference in my view. If the Republicans were doing this to a Democrat nominee for the Supreme Court, I would be opposed to this. Okay? I would just tell you straight up, I'm opposed to this nominee because of his judicial philosophy. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I would vote no for that reason.
Right.
I would not agree if a Republican were taking a Obama nominee to the Supreme Court like Sotomayor or Kagan and trying to smear her with something she did when she was 17, supposedly did when she was 17 years old. Maybe she was dealing drugs out of the back of her trunk of her car. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To her fellow high school students, even if that were true. Even if that were true of Sotomayor, I would say, what does that have to do with the next 35 years of her life?
Did she clean up her life? Did she get back on track?
Right. Yeah.
Now, she paid her debt, and then she moved on.
I'm saying Republicans, in my view, I'm just speaking as a matter of opinion here. I know that. In my view, Republicans, the vast majority of Republicans, would be against doing that to a woman, a nominee for the Supreme Court that Obama put up. If you had to resort to that.
Right.
On the other hand, most of the Democrats today, that doesn't bother them that you have to lie, cheat, and manipulate the story or ruin a man's life if it means keeping him off the Supreme Court. Do you see the difference?
Right.
It's kind of the same way with the Democrats, even back during Bill Clinton, when it was found out that he was having an affair with Monica Lewinsky, a intern in the White House, and he was impeached for lying under oath. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. The day of his impeachment, I think it was, the Democrats went to the White House and held a rally for Bill Clinton. You remember that? They held a rally for him. So this was a party of feminism.
Right.
Right?
And there were a half dozen accusations of groping and rape
against
Bill Clinton.
Yes, yes. Right. But those women weren't to be believed.
Right.
Well, the Monica Lewinsky story was not made up. That was true.
Nobody believed it until proof came forward either.
Yes. But what I'm saying is with feminism, one of their top tenets is a male dominating a female who's in an inferior position and then using that to manipulate
right.
A sexual relationship. Right. Am I right?
That's, yes.
I mean, they talk about that all the time. Mm-hmm. Well, here you had the president of the United States, the most powerful man on the earth, and a little intern
right.
here, and he's, you know, you just see what I'm saying here? They didn't have anything to say about that.
Right.
So they held a rally for Bill Clinton. So they only cared because Bill Clinton was pro-choice.
Right.
Right.
That's all they cared about. They didn't care about the women's issues, just that he's for pro-abortion, or pro-choice. That's all that mattered. That's the reason they rallied to his defense. So I wish we would just say these things, the Democrats would, and not get into this. If they would just say that and don't smear a man. But I think it's like you were saying, Chris, if a person can be for aborting an unborn baby, and I can describe how that happens if you want me to, but I think most of our listeners know they know how what happens to in an abortion. It's murder in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that if you can be for that. And you don't believe, and then most of these people also don't believe in the moral law of God, and they don't believe in accountability to the Lord. If you don't have that to contend with, your conscience can almost do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So you can say to yourself, listen, if we have to lie, make up a story about a person to keep him off the Supreme Court, it's worth it.
Right.
That's what they calculate.
Well, and one of the spokespersons on this topic, I can't think of her name, actually said that. She said, if we have to bring down a couple of innocent men on the way of achieving this Me Too goal, then that's fine.
I remember that.
But at least we're getting the right point across.
Right. You're listening to Today's Issues. That's the name of this program on American Family Radio. If you want to send us an email, you can do so at comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. I'm Tim with Ed, Walker, and Chris. We appreciate you listening to American Family Radio. Well, American Family Radio, that's one of the divisions of American Family Association, the parent ministry. Another one is the AFA Journal, which is our monthly magazine that goes out to 150,000 homes across America each month. And award-winning articles. I'm award-winning, writers. And I'm proud to say I'm not one of them, so I can say that. Award-winning, although if I'd won an award, I probably would tell you. So I'm not going to have false humility here. But one of the stories in our October issue caught my attention, and we're going to talk to the person who's featured in this.
Right, and the article is written by Ann Reed, who's an AFA Journal staff writer. We've gotten a lot of good comments about this article. So we want to welcome to the program the subject of that article. The title of the article is A Life Saved and Salvaged for Service to God. It is the story of Marion Hatcher, who is now, in 2018, a policy analyst and victim advocate for the Sheriff's Human Trafficking and Initiatives Office of Public Policy for Cook County, Illinois. That's a mouthful. Marion, want to welcome you to Today's Issues.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Well, Marion, this is just a phenomenal story of the grace and mercy of God. And Anne starts it off, and I'm going to read this lead paragraph, and then let you start telling your story, and we'll jump in periodically with questions.
By the way, you're talking to Ed right there.
Yes, my name's Ed. You'll have four other voices asking questions. Here's the lead paragraph. It says, typically, a prostitute is lured into that life at a very young age, not Marion Hatcher. Marion, tell us how you got trapped into a life of prosecution and the devastation
of prostitution, not prosecution. I'm sorry.
Prostitution.
Well, there was prosecution down the road, though.
Yeah.
And the devastation that happened as a result.
Well, my story is not typical because of some of the things that I'll talk about shortly. But the main reason that I ended up in the situation that is in the article and such, you know, a beautifully written and well presented depiction of my life is because of disobedience to the Lord. And so I want to, as a Christian, I want to say that up front. I accepted the Lord as my Savior when I was 17 years old, but I did not live allowing Him to be head of my life. And as we know, He's a loving God and He cares for us, but He will allow us to make the mistakes that we need to make in order to get that experience that brings us back to Him. And so with that said, I came from a loving and caring family. Obviously, I knew the Lord. My mom and my aunts made sure that I knew about Jesus, and I accepted Christ at 17. But my intellect almost killed me. I was very successful in terms of graduating from college. My degree is in finance from Loyola University here in Chicago, and was with a number of major corporations, 17 years in corporate sector. But I do have some of the profile of a person that was victimized early in life, was molested as a young girl by a family member, and that sometimes completely it just perverts our view of what sexual intimacy as God would have it for the rest of your life. I mean, it totally just damages you in that way, so that time can pass and you can, without a therapeutic intervention, time can pass, and many, many years did pass before another unacceptable attempt at having some type of contact with you sexually occurs, but it triggers in you something that some says that this is okay. So that molestation at a young age occurred, went through, life, had the normal achievements, accomplishments, high school graduation, college, got married, blah, 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 blah. But when the right set of stressors presented itself later on, even after achieving a great deal and introduced into this a normal corporate drinking habit that did not seem out of the norm, but then you introduce domestic violence at the hands of not the first husband, but a later husband, you introduce that trauma into a life that is now filled with abuse and just horrific demonic associations. You will find yourself leading a otherworldly, underworldly lifestyle that is a cesspool and a very ugly, very, very ugly lifestyle. So the domestic violence led to prostitution. I'm sorry, the domestic violence led to drugs. The drugs led to prostitution and eventually sex trafficking. The sex trafficking experience also included eventually being arrested. And thank God, the God that I serve gave me a supernatural outpouring of grace and mercy and sent angels with handcuffs to rescue me and allows me today to support on a local, state, national, and international level, the sheriff of Cook County in some miraculous ways.
You know, Marion, interesting, in the article, again, we're talking with Marion Hatcher, who is the subject of an article that appears in the October issue of the American Family Association Journal, written by Ann Reed. Marion, in this article, you just mentioned it, you say, "My life was saved when angels with handcuffs came for me in 2004. I'd like you to talk about that experience, because a lot of times people think of the police as being bad guys when they are arrested. You obviously see that as God reaching through you. But also, Chicago's Cook County Jail doesn't have the best, Chicago doesn't have the best reputation in terms of law enforcement. But you also talk about the love and compassion that you received inside Chicago's Cook County Jail. Talk about that experience with the police and with law enforcement and the officials from Cook County Jail, how God uses people like that when we are off the right path to get us back.
Well, you know, if there's anything that's really important and different about my story, many survivors, survivor sisters of mine, you know, survivor leaders, they ask now more like the cops, the popos, than the survivors on occasion. But this is the thing. First of all, I want to just kind of differentiate. I work for the Cook County Sheriff. I was given my opportunity by a Cook County drug court associated with the Cook County Department of Corrections. Okay, and so there is a difference between the culture with the under the Cook County structure as opposed to, say, Chicago, even though it is in Chicago. There are 130 law enforcement agencies within Cook County, including Chicago. So with that said, as we know, as Christians, God puts everyone in authority that it should be, right, including the President of the United States and all levels of government. And having had structure in my life before everything went crazy, I was aware of that. I was brought up to respect authority in my life, respect the government, respect police, respect the laws. But crack cocaine, obviously, and the abuse, the trauma that I experienced makes you lose complete focus on anything but getting that next drug. So once I was back in a stable, I had the opportunity to go to, not to go to prison, but to have a sentence of 120 days in lieu of 3 to 7 years in the penitentiary with this drug court relationship, alternative sentencing programming opportunity with, then it was called Women's Justice under the Sheriff's Office. This opportunity was nothing but a blessing, because doing 120 days instead of 3 to 7 years gave me the opportunity to receive jail-based treatment that focused on the now out-of-control substance abuse, the addiction, and then the trauma, the mental health, just the damage that's done is very difficult to explain if you've never experienced it. But just I'll put it like this. I was like a little bird in your hand. If you had squeezed, you could have just crushed me. When I came out of that drug-induced stupor, I was missing for 2 years, everyone. And my family didn't know about it. It was one of those stories, news at 11, news at 10 o'clock, somebody in a dumpster or a woman's body found behind a garbage can in the alley or cut up, found somewhere, thrown away. The rescue for me was real. And some people don't, today we don't arrest prostituted women as a matter of policy for Cook County Sheriff as of last year. But my story is 14 years old. We've come a long way in what's done in the policies of Sheriff Dart. But back then, my experience was prostituted on the street primarily. But the most important thing to know
Hey, Marion, we are out of time. I am so sorry. The 15 minutes has gone by so quickly.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yes, I'm sorry. Our time is up. I want to thank you for being on with us, and I want to encourage folks to read Ann's story about Marion Hatcher's story in the October issue of the AFA Journal. Marion, thank you so much for being on with us, okay?
Absolutely. I really appreciate you having me. Anytime, okay?
All righty. Thank you.
Walker, you
good? Yeah, the article is posted at our Today's Issues Facebook page if you would like to read more into it.
Okay, go to our AFA Today's Issues Facebook page, and we have linked or posted that story that about Marion Hatcher, who you were just listening to. We will take a break for news right now and be back in 5 minutes with more of Today's Issues right here on American Family Radio.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.